Welcome back to Moms Unbothered, the show where we ditch the toxins, trust our instincts, embrace a healthy lifestyle, and don't care who it bothers. I'm Jordan.
And I'm Kate.
And today you get the pleasure of just the two of us. We'll be discussing everything we did in preconception, pregnancy, and birth, from eating copious amounts of protein or Cheerios to going against medical standards in pregnancy. You'll hear all the deets. Before we get into this, if you love conversations that challenge the status quo and help you level up your health, take 2 seconds to hit that like button, subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, or leave a quick review if you're a podcast listener. It helps more moms like you find this podcast. And let's be real, the more of us out there, the less we have to explain why we don't let our kids eat McDonald's. Okay, hi, hello. Hello, how's it going?
Welcome back, guys.
I wanted to first start, before we get into this episode all about pregnancy, which I'm so excited about. We've been talking about doing this for a long time. But I wanted to talk about a little update on my fertility journey postpartum. I'm like 9.5 months postpartum. I've been exclusively breastfeeding. She's still not even really eating that much food, like maybe not even every day. And so I still have no period. And I've been trying to see if I can catch like an LH spike, which is the luteinizing hormone that spikes before ovulation, to see maybe if I'm going to ovulate, because you do ovulate before you get your period. And so that's why people are like, oh, I got pregnant and I didn't even have my period back. Well, it's because you ovulated and you were going to start your period. So I'm still not ovulating. I would love to maybe be pregnant in this upcoming summer, but I'm not going to sacrifice breastfeeding to get pregnant. I know a lot of people say like, oh, maybe if you start pumping or something, but that just seems really daunting. And I think it's just kind of nature's way of saying like, hey, maybe your body's not ready, or it's just not time yet. So yeah, I would love to be pregnant, but I'm just doing things to nourish my body now. You know, lots of protein and fats and exercise, and the sun's coming out, so I'm outside getting vitamin D. So yeah, that's my fertility update. How's it going over there?
It is going. I'm going to give an update because everybody's always asking on like when Joe and I are getting married, when we're going to have kids, all of that. So we would love to just do a low-key little ceremony, like with my parents, and that's it. His mom lives out of town. So like if she was here, obviously we would have her. I like her a lot, but we will probably just get married within the next few months. This is April 21st. So we'll just get married in the next few months and like then have a wedding next summer. So it's summer of 2026. And then we would like to start trying for a baby sometime, like maybe in the fall of 2026. But I don't know, guys, I'm terrified. Okay. We're going to talk about pregnancy today. And it's just like, I just, even the thought of being pregnant, it like traumatizes me. So I have so much work to still do. But I also think that having like a partner who is just makes me feel so safe will be such like a game changer. And I'm older now. I'm not like a little baby. Yeah. And I'm so much more educated. So there's just so much more that I know I can do. And I was just telling Jordan, I felt like I was like a prisoner to myself when I was pregnant, because like there were so many rules, like don't do this, you can't do this, don't exercise, or blah, blah, blah. And it was just like all of the rules were like, I feel like I can't do anything. Yeah. So, and I just wasn't educated. So next time around, I think it will be very different. But yeah, I think that's when we'll start trying, maybe fall of 2026. And my dream is to be pregnant with Jordan at some point. So I'm thinking
Talking about going on a baby moon together.
Yeah. I'm thinking like Jordan's third.
Yeah.
Or something will be when, I don't know. Because you're going to have a baby. You're going to have a baby before I am pregnant. So maybe my third, your fourth or something. I don't know.
Isn't it crazy? We like just told everybody when we're going to be banging our husbands.
Yeah.
That's all I think when people are like, I'm going to start trying. I'm like, okay, you just told me you're having sex.
Yeah. I didn't really think of that, but now I'm always going to be thinking of that. But yeah, I want Jordan and I to go on a baby moon together. I want Jordan to be at my birth. I would be at her birth if she wanted me to. I don't know if she's into that.
Love it.
But yeah, that's like my vision is like I have my best, like you have given birth at home. Michaela is giving birth at home. Mm-hmm. Like Kendra, the holistic mother, she's like, I will fly to your birth. She's not actually that far. She's like a 4-hour drive. But like, I just want women who can like empower me and calm my nervous system and who have done it before me to be at my birth. I feel like that would be so empowering because this would be my first home birth. I gave birth in the hospital, which leads us into our episode. Yeah. I was not crunchy when I was pregnant. So I did all of the standard like Western mainstream things. And like, I look back and cringe, but I just wasn't educated. So like, I mean, I did what I could, but like next time going into it, I think it will just be so much better because I will do the opposite of what we did. So do you want to start us off, Jordan, with like, because Jordan was like the crunchy mom during pregnancy and before. She was already like doing all the things, but she's going to kind of tell us what she will do differently and I'll tell what I will do differently.
Well, I think first we should start with preconception. I think a lot of people overlook that. I think it's so important. You have to start taking care of your health well before you want to even consider having kids. So eating tons of protein, exercising. I took prenatals for years and years. You don't have to prenatal. A lot of people just start prenatals when they get pregnant, which is fine. But like the whole point of prenatals is to get those nutrients in before you're conceiving. So I think that's super important.
Detoxing.
Detoxing. Make sure you're sweating and lymphatic drainage and just moving your body. Not only is it good for fertility health, but when you're pregnant, you want to be in shape so that you can handle all that extra weight you're carrying around. And then you're going to be lifting up a baby for years and years. It's so important to, you know, lift weights and just move your body. You don't want to be all stiff and stuff.
And I think people don't realize that, like, I think everyone should be doing a detox to some extent before they get pregnant because your baby's gut microbiome and, like, their cells and their whole being is directly correlated to you and your partner's health. So, like, if you have a ton of heavy metals, if you have a terrible gut microbiome, like, you're passing that down onto your baby. And I'm not shaming anyone because my baby was created on Bud Light, okay? I was not doing any detoxing. I was drinking, like, obviously once I found out I was pregnant, I stopped drinking, but like I didn't do any prep work beforehand. So I just think it's so important that people realize, like, if you wanted to get pregnant, if you're thinking like, oh, I want to get pregnant in a year, like, you should be prepping your body now. You shouldn't get pregnant and then be like, how can I detox, or what can I do to nourish my body? So it's like, it's a little bit too late. You can't detox. You can obviously try to nourish your body, but I also think that leads into, like, people say like, oh, I have really bad heartburn. My baby must have a bunch of hair and I have terrible morning sickness. It must be a girl. And it's like, you know, those are directly correlated to you and your partner's health. That has nothing to do with your baby's hair or how your baby is. Or people like think it's cute to say those things, but like that's a correlation to your health. That has nothing to do with your baby. So I think like even just like your stomach acid, like getting like making sure that's in a good place, like that just plays such a role into everything. And everything in pregnancy is a correlation to how you're taking care of yourself before. And like like preeclampsia, people think like, oh, it happens to anyone, but it's like that's a correlation to you.
Also, and during pregnancy, your digestion slows down a ton because your body's trying to get all the nutrients it can. So if your digestion's not A1 beforehand, you're going to be hurting in pregnancy, Also, that your nervous system, your mental health, you know, try to be in your baby feels all that. It's like imprinted on them. So try to, you know, really take care of just being happy too. And that's going to make getting pregnant a whole different story. You don't want to go into it with a heavy mindset because it's going to make that process not fun. And it should be a fun and enjoyable process.
For sure. And I think also back to like the nervous system, you have to heal your own childhood wounds. And like, I have never been more self-aware than when I became a mom, because like, I just have had the mindset since Barrett was born that I'm going to treat him exactly how I wanted to be treated as a baby. And like, I literally envisioned him as like baby Mary Kate, and like how I wanted her, like how I would feel safe in the moments, or how I would want to be cared for if I got in trouble. How would I want someone to talk to me? And that's not saying like, you know, your kid's never wrong and give them whatever they want. It has nothing to do with that. It's just like, if I was crying, would I want to be picked up? Absolutely. If I was put into a crib in a dark room and nobody came to get me for 9 hours, would I like that? Like, I wake up in the night thirsty. My baby is probably thirsty in the night. Sometimes I wake up in the night hungry. My baby's probably hungry in the night. It's like, I think people think babies are kind of like robots, or like we've been trained to be like,
but unrealistic expectations on them.
And like that babies are so adaptable and they can just like, you know, babies will come into your lifestyle and you don't have to change anything. But it's like, I think being a mom is the ultimate sacrifice. Like, you let go of all that you had hoped and planned for. And it's like you mesh into your baby's life, yeah. not your baby meshes into your life. To me, if that's not someone else's opinion, that's fine. But that's just kind of, to me, what being a mom really is. Like, one time my friend Moira said, like, we have to go into things with low expectations, because mm-hmm. if we go in, like, even just not even like pregnancy and birth and, you know, the newborn stages, but just like toddlerhood too. Like, mm-hmm. even when you plan an outing with your family, like, have low expectations that mm-hmm. it's probably not going to go the way you want. Yeah. And I feel like it makes life so much easier because you don't yeah. have these high set expectations.
Yeah. Michelle Duggar from 19 Kids and Counting said something that stuck with me. She said, expectations ruin relationships. Mm. And that totally fits, I mean, in any kind of relationship, even with your child. I mean, if you expect them to sit still at a restaurant every time, you're going to be sorely let down. So just don't have any expectations and it'll be a great time.
Yeah, that's so true. Shout out Michelle. Didn't love everything she did, but that's a good one.
That really stuck with me. Oh, Michelle, blink if you need help. No, I'm just kidding. So yeah, let's go back to prenatals. I like to look for things without folic acid. I try to avoid folic acid. It's not found anywhere in nature. It's man-made. I like to look for folate, methylated folate. It's more usable to our body. And there's a lot of controversy on this. And it's like the holistic world and the midwives versus the OBGYNs and the doctors. But in my opinion, folate, and I've done a lot of reading on this, is the way to go. And beef liver, liver organs, desiccated organs are great. Like a Nature's Multivitamin. Needed is my favorite brand. I don't know.
Same.
If you have another brand.
Yeah, that's my favorite brand. And like the whole controversy, it wouldn't be controversy if people could just do a little bit of research. Just like a little, like literally the smallest ounce of just having an open mind and doing some research, you'd be like, oh, folic acid is synthetic. Oh, most women who take folic acid's chances of having postpartum depression skyrocket. Mm-hmm. Most people can't absorb folic acid because it's synthetic. Like it shouldn't even be controversial, but like, I'm not kidding. I posted about folic acid versus folate a couple weeks ago. The amount of DMs that I was getting saying my OB told me I needed folic acid. I'm like,
yeah, I'll come for you. Like, oh, it's, my God. Yeah, it should be criminal. Yeah, don't forget, guys, like the medical system is 15, 20, 30 years behind on even up-to-date research. That's how long it takes to implement new things into the system. And I know most doctors mean well. I'm not saying that, but they have, you know, tunnel vision. They're taught one thing, mm-hmm. and that is that. It's like their way or the highway. They're just indoctrinated into that teaching. So yeah, try to just open mind, like Mary Kate said. Smart.
Amen. And also, yeah, I'm sure there are, like, because then now people are going to be like, well, my OB told me full. Like, there are some doctors who do research out of what they're taught, and they realize, like, oh, you should be doing XYZ. That's great. We're just talking about, like, I would say 99% of doctors. Yeah. Like, and if someone's listening to this and is getting offended, think of how many times you have gone to the doctors and you have felt gaslit.
Dismissed.
Like, yeah, dismissed. They just gave you a pill. Like, it's just how they operate. It's not even like their own fault. I think people go into the medical field because they genuinely want to help people and that they care for people. It's just like you're just taught what you're taught.
Also, if you do trust your doctor, then you know what? Go ahead and listen to them. We're just a couple of girls, but
what do we even know?
Make decisions for yourself.
Please think for yourself. Yeah, that's so true. But I would also use Needed prenatal. I'm like, I know that the Holistic Mother on Instagram has like a whole post about like, I think she had like 8 different options. So like, if you don't want to use Needed, go for something else. But I do want to say, I know a lot of people complain, like, I just want a pill that I take once a day. One pill a day is not nourishing your body.
Yeah.
It's good that you see like you need 6 to 8 pills a day, like, and split them up if you want. Like, but I just think if you want to truly nourish your body, you can't just be taking one pill a day. And if you took Needed prenatals or anything else you would add on, like for me, I would personally still take my minerals that I take.
Yes.
I think it's called Biofulvic brand. And like, I don't know if I would take a fish oil, but I would be eating more like sardines, salmon, fatty fish a couple times a week to be getting that in. Is there anything else you feel like you
would? Yeah, I did take cod liver and stuff. But yeah, definitely during and before pregnancy, make sure you're upping your minerals, because pregnancy just rips your body of like 10 or 15. Every pregnancy is like 10 or 15% of your minerals. That's another thing. you know, people are getting pregnant quickly postpartum, but they're so depleted. So just make sure you're trying to just nourish yourself that way. But yeah, I did take cod liver. Let's see, what else did I take? Oh, I took zinc. Vitamin C is so good for your amniotic sac and fluid and all that. So I was taking, like, by the end, like 12 grams of vitamin C. I was downing vitamin C. All I wanted was an NCAL birth where the baby comes out in the sac. So I was like, I need a really strong sac. Didn't happen, but that's fine. It was still all beneficial. So definitely vitamin C. What else? Let's see. I drink tons of raw milk in pregnancy. Yeah. Nourishing foods. Oh, Seeking Health is another prenatal that I enjoyed too. Yeah. Minerals. Oh, magnesium in pregnancy. You're going to get cramps at night. Tons of magnesium, magnesium lotion. I was taking like 4 capsules of magnesium before bed, but you want to ease into that. It will give you diarrhea, but that's also going to help you not get constipated in pregnancy, which happens.
Also, I know this, like, it's really hard to eat healthy during that first trimester and stuff. But I just think, like, mainstream has said, like, eat whatever you want. You're pregnant. Like, treat yourself. Oh, yeah. You're eating for two.
Give all the baby what it wants.
Yes. Yeah. The baby is craving XYZ. But it's like your literal baby is being formed and made from what you are eating. But that's also directly going to impact, like, how you feel mentally. So if you can try to be eating, like, high protein, high fat, and, like, not just eating all carbs, which I know it's really hard in the first trimester.
Yeah.
You're going to set yourself up for so much more success. But again, what do I know? I'm not a nutritionist.
Also, your baby was built on glyphosate Cheerios. So your body will still do it. But
In pregnancy, my anxiety was so bad. I was eating one time a day and it was Cheerios. And like, I wasn't a crunchy mom, so I had no idea. But like next pregnancy, I feel like it's going to be a world of a difference to like actually nourish myself and actually feel good going into it, because I was miserable all of my pregnancy. Well, until like I was fine until like 5 months, and then that's when my anxiety got bad and I started to feel like crap.
But yeah, like you said, first trimester can be hard to get protein. I had a huge protein aversion to like 16-17 weeks. All I wanted was carbs. So I ate like tons and tons of fruit and honey, and I just was making better choices. I made sourdough, which I don't think I would do next pregnancy, is eat gluten. I'm already kind of sensitive to it, and I wasn't doing my body a service by eating gluten in pregnancy. Oh, yeah. This was something my midwife drilled into me, was eating enough protein, minimum 100 grams of protein a day in pregnancy. And even preconception, you should be eating a lot. But I mean, minimum 100. So that was always a priority to me. So like at night in my tea, I would put like scoops of protein, like bone broth protein or some sort of protein unflavored powder. And I was just always, I had chomps by my bedside, always getting protein. And teas are really good. Teas are so nourishing and full of vitamins and minerals, and pretty much any tea you can drink in pregnancy.
I was also thinking, because I know people are going to ask, when we were talking about preconception, some tests I would be doing is like a stool test to see where my gut microbiome is at. I would be getting, maybe doing blood tests to see like what I'm deficient in, or I don't know, what I need to be detoxing from. I would like go in with a set plan if you can. If you can't, what do you think? What are some free things that people could do to like...
to test?
No, or to just be like setting themselves up for like detoxing, or, you know, like sweating is a good one. Sweating. Get outside, sweat.
Yeah, dry brushing, like lymphatic massage you can just do on yourself. It's super easy. Jumping on a trampoline or something. Oh, you could do, it's not free, but light parasite cleanse, I think is super important.
Yeah.
Yeah, just getting outside, grounding, being present, just working on mindfulness is going to make digestion and everything tenfold better.
I agree.
Oh, in pregnancy, did you get ultrasounds? What are your thoughts on ultrasounds?
Yeah, I was getting ultrasounds far too often. And I, not even by my choice. It was my doctor's. This is what I think happened. I was going to a mainstream OB. They knew I was on Medicaid. I think they just were like, as much money as we can push into this, we're getting out of it. I was getting ultrasounds so often, and they were like leading me into so much stress. For example, I think we did our anatomy scan at 20 weeks. Everything looked good. That was fine. And then they wanted to do another one because they said he wasn't growing, which their reason for him not growing was when they measured with the tape measure on my stomach. Like, obviously, he was probably in a different position each time, so he's going to measure differently. So sometimes they'd be like, oh, he's measuring 6 weeks behind. Like, we need to get in there and do an ultrasound. So obviously, I'm panicking, like, did I have a miscarriage? And every time he was perfectly fine. But then one of the times they were like, he has a brain tumor. And like, I am already like, I can't even be a mom. And now you're telling me my kid has a brain tumor? Like, so then they sent me off to like our state's largest hospital in Iowa City. And then they did another ultrasound and they're like, no, he doesn't have a brain tumor. That was a speck of dust on their ultrasound machine. But then they were like, he does have umbilical vein varic. So you need to deliver and like way sooner. So I think they wanted me to deliver at like 36 weeks maybe. And it was just like, and then after that, every single week I was having to go in because they were like making sure that I wasn't going to have a stillbirth. And it was just the amount of stress and trauma that they put onto me for my son to be born perfectly healthy was actually insane. And like, I knew mom's intuition is crazy because like in my mind, I was like, my baby's fine. Like I know in my heart and my gut, like I can just feel that nothing is wrong. I felt like I was like a prisoner and like I was in jail and I had to do whatever they said. Like it was just whatever they said, I had to obey. And next time I probably, if I do any ultrasound, it will probably just be like the 20 week anatomy scan. And then that's it. I won't do anymore. And on top of that, I don't think ultrasounds are that great for us.
See, yeah, I've done with my doula training and midwifery training, I've done so much reading on ultrasounds and their lack of accuracy is insane. The way they get people to induce saying like, oh, your baby's big, they're off by 2 pounds in either direction. It is crazy the stories I hear. Oh, I was supposed to have a 5 pound baby and my baby came out like 8 pounds. And they made me induce early. And first off, I hate the when people say they made me because they can't make you do anything. They can't make you. It's all your choice. But they just obviously fearmonger us. We trust our doctors. We think they're doing what's best. But in reality, ultrasounds can do a lot more harm than good. I personally, Sarah Buckley has a book called Gentle Birth, Gentle Mothering, which I highly recommend everybody read for preconception and birth, but she has a lot of stats on ultrasounds and did a lot of research. She talks about how early on, well, the ultrasound, you know, it heats up the cells. That's how it's like getting images. So that heat right away can be detrimental to a teeny, teeny. You hear women all the time, oh, I had an ultrasound yesterday, everything was fine. And then the next day I miscarried. And we don't know why. Obviously, a lot of miscarriages happen, but I was adamant, I do not want an early ultrasound. And then I did have a miscarriage my first pregnancy. I didn't have an ultrasound. But my second pregnancy, I had such bad anxiety about miscarriage that as soon as I hit that mark where I lost my first baby, I was like, I'm going to do an ultrasound for my peace of mind. And I just went to like an ultrasound boutique and she was on there for like maybe 3 minutes and we found a little heartbeat and I just felt so much better. I was like, okay, I like, the anxiety was going to be worse for me than the thought of whatever the ultrasound was going to do. So, yeah, I mean, it's just a personal choice. I will always do the anatomy scan just because I am doing home birth and I just want to make sure everything, you know, we won't need extra medical care when the baby comes. And I also got to a point in my pregnancy where my midwife said, okay, I was approaching 42 weeks. And she said, okay, if we get to this point, I want to just do like a stress test just to make sure everything's still going on. I know states have regulations on home birth and ultrasounds as well. So yeah, that's just my personal opinion. I know a lot of women don't do any ultrasounds and I think that's badass, but I don't think I mentally would be able to, after having a loss, especially be able to do that.
Yeah, for sure. Also, I think back and like to when I found out I was pregnant, I went to like a Planned Parenthood to like confirm because when I was in college too, I didn't want that going on my parents' insurance. Like, so I went to like a Planned Parenthood at like 5 weeks and I think they did a blood test and then they like asked me when my last period was, whatever. We found out I was 5.5 weeks pregnant. But like from that moment, I just felt like I was like a sick patient. Like I switched over to like an OB because I finally, you know, I told my mom, I think I told my, not finally, I told my mom like within a couple days. But, and so then obviously Then I got on Medicaid, but I also had my parents' insurance, like what they didn't cover or something Medicaid did. I don't really know how it works, but like I felt like I was a sick patient. Like I was constantly like going to the OB appointments, but even at the OB appointments, like I feel like I was in there for 5 minutes and the doctor was just like, okay, how do you feel? Good? Okay, bye. Like just nobody, it was just such a waste of time, but it's such a moneymaker for them.
Oh, yeah.
Like my friend Michaela, she's pregnant, but like she just took a pregnancy test and didn't do anything until she was like 17 or 18 weeks. Like that's the first time she went and saw someone. So I feel like that's like definitely what I will want to do just because I don't like feeling like I'm like sick or like, you know, I need someone else monitoring me or something bad's going to happen. Like I think our bodies are just so innate and know what they're doing.
Yeah. I think that they say the national average for an OB appointment's like 5.5 minutes or something. So you see them collectively maybe an hour until up until the time you give birth. And midwifery care is, I mean, each appointment's a minimum an hour. You're chatting and just getting to know each other. This is like such an intimate moment for women giving birth. And so for me, it was important to have somebody that I felt comfortable with. Yeah, I never stepped foot in a doctor's office my whole pregnancy. For the ultrasounds, I went to the boutiques and she had a diagnostic. She was capable of doing that. I avoided the 4D ones. There's just so much we don't know about ultrasounds yet, and it just makes me uncomfortable. So yeah, I tried to avoid all that. But sometimes I get they are necessary. Oh, I was just going to say, also just trust yourself. Like Mary Kate's doctor told her not to exercise too much or get her heart rate up too high. I mean, just trust your intuition. If you think you can exercise, you can probably exercise. It's very safe to exercise and encourage. My midwife encouraged me to lift weights 3 times a week. In birth, you're going to be moving and you need your strength. You need muscles to get that baby out. That's another thing. Trust yourself. They have an acronym in the medical world. It's called BRAIN. It's benefits, risk, alternatives, intuition, and nothing. So it's what are the benefits? What are the risks? What are my options? What is my intuition saying? And what if I do nothing? So those are just like some good things to think about when making these decisions for not yourself, but also your baby.
Yeah. Also, like we are grown adults and I didn't realize this, but like, we can make our own decisions. Yeah. We don't have to just follow the rules of whatever the doctor is saying. Like, and that will be so freeing for me next time because I literally felt like I was like under obligation to do exactly what they were saying. And that just, it ruined my mental health. I felt like I was a child. Like, I felt like I couldn't trust myself. You know what I mean? Like, I just felt like I had to do whatever they say or something bad's going to happen. And nothing bad happened. And they kept telling me all these bad things were happening.
And you were able to stick up for yourself in labor, but many women can't. They're in the labor zone and they would just do whatever the doctor says, even though they know that's not what they wanted to do. It's not what they had planned, but no means no.
Yeah,
you can
for
say
sure.
no to anything.
And also, can we stop normalizing giving birth on your back? Yeah. It actually just doesn't make sense. It does not make sense. People are always like, well, my baby got stuck or my baby wouldn't come out or I was pushing for 15 hours. It's like, what do you expect? You're going against gravity. Get on all fours.
Isn't that crazy? They tell you not to sleep on your back, but then they
put
you in a bed for 24 hours on your back in labor. It's crazy.
That's actually wild.
Have you heard about why that started, laboring on your back?
Wasn't it easier for whoever the doctor was?
Originally, it was like King Louis started. He had like this weird fetish thing where he liked to watch women give birth. So he made all of his wives give birth on their back. Not only his wives, like he would go to random women's births. And so, he wanted a full view. So then it just became normal to give birth on your back easier for the doctors.
That is absolutely wild. Also, you can do whatever you want at the hospital. You can eat if you want. You can drink if you want. You can give birth on all fours if you want. Like, I remember when I went in to give birth, I told my doctors, I'm not getting an epidural. I react very poorly to medication. I do not want a C-section. Like, what are you going to do to let me, like, how do I give birth? What are my best outcomes for giving birth naturally? But, like, I had to be firm in that because, like, if I wasn't, they probably would have just like hooked me up to the Pitocin, would have started, you know, whatever medication to get my birth going. But it was like, since I said that I wasn't doing that, they had to come up with other, you know, ways. And thankfully, my nurse was like, oh, you should pump to induce if you want to do it that way. So I did that and I did the Foley bulb and it was fine. But like, I can't imagine if I went in there and just had, I mean, I had next to zero knowledge, but I at least knew, do not get the Pitocin.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I feel like so many women do say, like, I'm going into it, I don't want the Pitocin, but then they're like, but then I ended up doing it because hours passed and nothing was happening. It's like, yeah, it's okay if the hours pass. Also, isn't it a myth about the, like, if your water breaks, you only have X amount of time or you're going to get an infection and die?
Yeah, they say 24 hours where you'll get an infection, but as long as you're not putting things up there, you're probably fine. But it is worth monitoring maybe. But yeah, it's not like the baby needs to come out and it's an emergency. No, definitely not. But oh yeah, I don't think women actually realize how dangerous Pitocin is and like all the side effects. Like even postpartum depression is listed as a side mm-hmm. effect. It's only actually FDA approved for afterbirth, not for inducing birth.
I didn't even know that.
Oh yeah. So, and doctors are using it, I mean, left and right. It's kind of crazy. It's crazy.
Well, it's also crazy that women have been so turned off and like petrified that nobody even really gives natural birth a second, like a thought. Like they're just like, oh, I'm just going to get the epidural. And that's fine if you.
And everything.
Yeah. Like it's fine if you want it, but I promise you can give birth without it. If like a lot of people will message me and say, I don't have a high pain tolerance. Like I'm scared. Like you don't have to have a high pain tolerance.
Yeah.
You just have to have, honestly, like the motivation to just be like, this is what I'm doing and stick with it. Like stick with your mindset.
Yeah. I know women don't like to hear this, but typically most women, majority of women, your body was made to give birth. It can do it. And yeah, it's just mentally, it is a challenge mentally, especially with our society, but women all over the world give birth without medication. You can do it too. Also, another thing in pregnancy that I feel like is super inaccurate and outdated is the gestational diabetes test. I mean, how often are you, one, drinking a drink that's full of literal poison, but drinking all that sugar on an empty stomach? Of course, your numbers are going to be high. That test is so flawed. A better option you can ask or tell your doctor you're doing, you don't have to ask, tell your doctor you're doing, is the Fresh test. A lot of people do that. It's less bad ingredients and a little bit better. But I also did mine at home. I did some maple syrup, tested my blood sugar, and then I just watched, like, I would test it after I eat. I think I did it for like 3 days or something. And then I waited a couple weeks and I did it again. And that was like perfectly fine. I just texted my midwife my numbers. And you can get those little like monitor things for like $15 on Amazon. So yeah, I think that's just another one that like really stresses women out. And it makes women throw up and then you fail and then you got to come back and do the 3-hour one. And it's like a whole thing that I feel like is just another money grab and then another way to, you know, kind of exert power and control over pregnant women's autonomy.
And I did do that test. I did the regular go to your OB, chug the nasty. I think I got the orange one. And I remember like sweating because it was just such a sugar rush. And I did pass it, but never again would I take that test. But if you are like, I don't have any other options, or it feels too overwhelming to order my own test and do all that, at least ask for the dye-free one.
Dye-free one, yeah.
But yeah, I believe those are being banned. I think they have until like 2027 or 2028, mm-hmm. and then like they can't even use those anymore mm-hmm. in OB offices.
Yeah, that whole test is flawed. Sarah Wickham, she does tons. She's got a PhD in something, but she does tons and tons of research on all that kind of stuff. She's got a book for like almost everything in pregnancy. So I definitely recommend looking her up. I know I mentioned Sarah Buckley earlier, but this is Sarah Wickham. She's a wealth of knowledge when it comes to all that stuff. So definitely look that up. Also, another thing that I think is so normalized for no reason other than cosmetic is circumcision. I don't know. I don't know why that is so popular in the United States and really not really actually anywhere else, unless it's for religious reasons. But it's mutilation for no reason other than cosmetic. You literally sign a paper that says this has no medical reasoning. Like, I'm just doing this. And then all my friends have said they brought my baby back. I could tell he'd been crying. And they said, oh, he didn't cry. Like, he did fine. Of course he cried. The videos on them strapping those babies down and cutting, it's horrible.
Also, if you're like, yeah, I'm just going to send, I can't go and watch them do that.
Yeah.
Then that should be your number one reason to not even do it. Because if you can't handle watching your baby in that pain, imagine your baby in that pain alone without you. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm not saying I'm not shaming anyone, right? No. Because like back then I also had no idea.
Yeah.
But like this time around, yeah, I'm definitely not doing that. And I just never, it was never something that I put into consideration because I just didn't have the education to be like, these are the things I need to be researching. But I looking back, like, I think some people's excuses, and one of mine was like, I'm scared of infection. Mm-hmm. I'm scared people will make fun of him. Mm-hmm. I'm scared, all of these things. But like, all of those are truly debunked if you actually just do the research. And I just didn't do the research. Yeah. But like, infection is not at any higher risk than if you don't circumcise. Where are boys? Like, I get like maybe in the locker room as teenagers, mm-hmm. like boys are around each other. But like, before that, it's nobody's business what your child mm-hmm. looks like. Who cares if people ask you about it? Yeah. I get that same thing about vaccines. Like, I'm scared people are going to ask me if I vaccinate. It's just like,
who cares?
Yeah, who cares? It's your kid. Like, yeah. We have to stop as a society making decisions based off of just what we do it because we're scared of what other people will think. Like, mm-hmm. that is no way to live life. Back to like the circumcision thing, it's just like, I think that we have to stop asking people their opinions on things to make a decision for your own, for our own families. Like, that's just not how it should work. You should do the research and you can ask people like, hey, where could I look into more information for mm-hmm. this? But like, you shouldn't just be doing XYZ just because your friend did it or your older sister who has kids did it. Like, normalize making your own decisions.
Yeah. I don't know why actually circumcision is so controversial in the United States. Like, that's a conversation that gets people fired mm-hmm. up. And I honestly didn't really know much about it until I went through all my trainings and everything. And I was kind of horrified. I'm Jewish, so we love circumcision. That's like, it's like a whole ceremony. It's called a bris after 7, 8. Now, that's another thing. If you want to decline the vitamin K but still circumcise, they're going to say you have to get the vitamin K. But if you wait 7 or 8 days, then you don't have to get the vitamin K because that's when their body starts doing it naturally. So you can find a mole, like a rabbi, they'll do it for you out of hospital even. And that makes it so much easier. Yeah. They're trained in that. They're medically trained how to do that. And you don't need the vitamin K. So yeah, even if you want to go back to the doctor and do it, you can wait, decline for a little bit. But yeah, I don't know why it's so controversial. Like, imagine arguing over babies' penises. It's
crazy.
I think
most things are controversial, I think, in parenthood because people have so much pride of like, well, like they feel bad.
They're
that
the
they
best
didn't,
parents.
Yes, that they didn't do the research. And like, I've said this before, but I think the best parents aren't the parents that know everything. They're the parents that are open-minded to learning new things because you're not hurting anyone being closed-minded except your kids. Like, if you choose to just ignore facts and just go with whatever mainstream is telling you, like, that's hurting your child more than it's hurting your pride to just say like, oh, maybe I should research this. Yeah. And it's okay to make mistakes and be like, oh, I wish I would have done something differently. That's me my entire mm-hmm. pregnancy until my son was born. I wish I did things differently, but I didn't know. And I don't beat myself up about it. Personally, I think I'm one of the best moms literally in the world. And like, I still did things that I would do differently. But like, because I'm so open-minded, I'm just like, yeah, I'm a great mom.
Yeah. Sometimes we have to swallow our pride to do better for our children. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, back to circumcision. My Whole Baby website, I think that's what it's called. That's a really great resource if you don't know where to start with that. I was shocked when I learned all about it. And they butcher them a lot. Mm-hmm. Accidents happen for that procedure. Oh, one thing that shocked me about Mary Kate's birth was they offered to take the baby away to a nursery afterwards. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. And like, I think that's very normalized. Like, I can remember when I was little and like my mom would be talking to one of her friends about like, oh, they just had a baby. And my mom would be like, yes, like send him to the nursery for the night. Like, get, you know, give yourself a break, get rest. But it's like, now thinking back, I'm like, I can't imagine having a baby. This baby, the only thing this baby knows is me for the last 9 months, and then it just came out with birth is traumatic, and then we send them off into a place where they don't know. Like, we just really have to start thinking about, like, biologically, does this make sense to let someone else be watching my newborn baby that I don't even know right after I gave birth? And then also, if we're sending our babies to the nurseries, like, we're just ruining our chances for breastfeeding, because when you have a baby, like baby should just be latched to mom 24/7. So your body realizes like, hey, baby was born, time to make milk. It just biologically, it doesn't make sense. And it's just so crazy that these hospitals have these procedures. Mm-hmm. And this also goes into like when people, everyone wants their baby to sleep through the night. And it's just like, if you're breastfeeding, you don't want your baby to be sleeping through the night because you want your baby, you want to be constantly, you know, telling your body you need to be making milk. It's just like babies wake up for a reason. It's mm-hmm. biologically normal. Like there's, everything is just connected mm-hmm. and we just need to stop trying to deny mm-hmm. what the biology yeah. of like our babies and us.
Yeah. It's protective mom. For babies to wake up. It protects mm-hmm. them against many things. And I think the whole nursery thing actually started, they used to do this thing in the 40s and 50s in the hospital. They would put the moms under like a twilight, like a drug them under like a twilight zone type thing. And they would literally pull the babies out. But then these moms were so out of it. They don't remember giving birth. They're like just so out of it. The babies had to be somewhere else. They would take the baby somewhere else to be taken care of because the moms were literally incapable. It was actually a really horrible thing. I'm sure a lot of like our grandparents were probably born that way, and parents even. So yeah, it's another one of those outdated practices. I know the hospital here, they don't even have a nursery anymore. They call it pro-baby hospitals or something like that. But they don't let you sleep with your baby on your chest. They make you. You can hold your baby if you want, put them in a bassinet. But yeah, that's another thing. Co-sleeping in the hospital would be unheard of. But
yeah, they were having none of it when I had Barrett in the... Yeah. They actually had... Like, my hospital was actually pretty nice. They had, like, a queen-size bed so that, like, me and Barrett's dad could both sleep in it, which was super nice. Like, after you gave birth, obviously, we, like, got... Mm-hmm. We went to a different side of the hospital, and that's where we stayed. But, like, I remember having Barrett in the bed, and the nurse, like, gave me a lecture on, like, safe sleep. And I'm just like... I felt embarrassed. I was like, oh, like, sorry, I won't do it again. But I'm like, that's my baby. Shut up.
Yeah. And it's so, again, it's like, go with your intuition. It's so not natural to have your baby sleep in a, not even a different room, but like what out of arm's reach from you is, that's so not natural. And I know some women are like, co-sleeping's not for me, and that's fine. But to say that it's natural to sleep away from your baby is asinine.
Yeah, for sure. And also, like, nurseries are such a moneymaker. Like, most countries weren't having babies and then putting them in a different room. But, like, in America, we love to make people spend money. So you're spending thousands on, like, crib, changing table, the accessories in the nursery, the decorations, like, all of this stuff. And then that pulls your, you're doing more research on, like, the best car seat to buy, the coolest nursery to build, and you're neglecting, why is it important to breastfeed? Why are we not vaccinating?
How to avoid a C-section and induction. And
Like, it's like we prepare so much for pregnancy or for birth, but like all on the wrong things. And then we go into the hospital and we just like are like, I don't know what to do. Yeah. So I'm just going to listen to the doctor. And same thing with like coming home with a newborn. Like, I don't know how to make my baby latch. I can't get him to breastfeed. I feel like they're not. And it's just like, and then the same thing with sleep training. Like, I had no idea my baby would be up all night. Like, I need to sleep train them. It's just like a domino effect for setting moms up for failure because nobody is telling these moms, like, it's more important to research these topics than the coolest gadgets you're going to buy for your baby.
Yeah. That's one thing that irks me. People are like, I can't afford a birth class or something. Wait, you don't have to buy the expensive stroller or this expensive car seat. On my we don't even have a nursery. My baby doesn't even have a room. On my registry, I had a spot where people could send me money for birth. I was a doula too. I am a doula. So I went through all this training. I'm a huge birth nerd. I've studied this for years. I still had a section where people could send me money for a birth class for me and my husband and midwifery care and, like pelvic floor therapist and chiropractor, all those things, those are what I had on my registry because the nursery and the decorations and all the gadgets are just so not important. It's a priority for me to learn and advocate for myself.
For sure. And also, if you're listening to the episode and you're like, oh, I feel so bad about myself, just know I didn't do anything. Everything I did in pregnancy, I will not do with my next because I just didn't know better. It's just know better, do better. It's better to learn than to just be in the dark forever. And I feel like birth outcomes, postpartum outcomes would be so different if people were just educated and took the time.
I hear women all the time. I my first birth went so terribly that that's when I decided to, like, I knew something wasn't right. I needed to make a change and do things differently. So yeah, just if you're listening and you haven't had kids yet, don't let that be you. Do the work beforehand. Husbands too. My husband played a huge role in my birth. He read a book called Husband Coaching for Childbirth or something. It was by the Bradley Method guy. Anyways, that's a good book to read. But yeah, it's important for everybody to be on the same page. The way you set up pre-pregnancy, during pregnancy, after pregnancy is, it's gonna, I mean, this is an experience you get maybe once in your life, hopefully more, but for a lot of women, it's only once. So you want it to be, you know, great, a great experience.
Also, one of the biggest things that I wish I would have done the first time and that would have made such a difference in my postpartum and what I'll do next time is, like, I felt like, okay, for the 9 months, everyone was so excited for me to have the baby. Like, everyone was just, you know, like, all like this attention and this sense of, like, people are going to help and take care. And I remember having Barrett, and we got home, I think, on the 26th of November. I had him on the 24th. And it was like within 2 days, everybody was back to work. It was just me home alone with this baby. I didn't have time to feed myself. I couldn't shower. Like, in that moment, I have never felt more alone. So next time, like, I will definitely have in place, like,
a plan.
Yes. A plan of, like, who can be with me for that first. Obviously, it's going to be so different with Joey. Joey works from home. So, like, I'll have Joey forever. But, like, if I could go back, I would have asked people in advance, Mom, can you please take 3 days off of work? And then Dad, can you please take 3 days off of work? Like, my sister, can you please take 3 days off of work? And just, like, you know, and I would have asked Chase's mom and Chase's dad the same thing, because I, like, just remember being home alone, sleep deprived with this newborn baby. I had no idea what to do. And, like, I couldn't even take a shower because the baby was just always crying. And, like, I felt like I had 10 seconds to do anything. So I definitely would have put a plan in place of, like, freezer meals, who's bringing me breakfast, lunch, dinner, or, like, at least lunch and dinner. Like, having these support systems around you makes such a difference if your partner can't take off to be with you. Yeah. Or even if they can, like, having set in stone, like, telling your partner, like, hey, you are in charge of the house duties. Like, I remember Jordan told me her and Larry had this system where, like, he made her breakfast, lunch, dinner. He cleaned. He took care of the dogs. Her sole duty was to breastfeed the baby and lay in bed or lay on the couch. And like, that, I feel like, is just such a sacred time, because I don't think it's hard to take care of a newborn. It's hard to do everything else. It's the mental load of the to-do list that's just constantly racking up. So yeah, if I could give one tip and you take one thing away from this, is have help postpartum.
I know it's sad. A lot of women are like, well, I don't have that village. Hire a postpartum doula. That's another thing you can put on your registry. Money towards a doula. They will come, I mean, allow you to shower, but they'll do the laundry and warm up a meal for you or whatever. Yeah, definitely have a. I did the 5-5-5. So 5 days in the bed, 5 days on the bed, and then 5 days around the bed. I think literally after like 8 days, I walked to the mailbox. Like, that was, I just rested, because you're healing too. It's, you know, mental healing, you know, and physical healing, and you're bonding. Those moments are so critical and so important. That's your postpartum forever after you have a baby. But that immediate postpartum, that's a time you will probably remember for the rest of your, you'll look back on. And so, yeah, have a plan, have a support system, and just make sure everybody's on board with it. That, I think so many women overlook that. And then they're there with this baby and they're like, I don't know what to do. You're right. It's like so exciting for those 9 or 10 months. And then it's like, oh no, wait, now what?
Yeah. Then now what? And then also, like, another thing, the last thing for me was, it's okay to say no to things. Like, I remember, and this is like not his fault, because I could have said no, but like, I remember Barrett's dad wanted to, like, go get sushi, and I was literally like 4 days postpartum, like, and I remember, like, trying to get ready and go, and just, like, I couldn't even sit. I couldn't even walk. And I, like, I just wish I would have been like, this is so uncomfortable for me. Like, I'm still in a diaper. Like, I was like walking hunched over because I was in so much pain. Like, it's okay that you just had a baby and you are not back to normal.
I don't know how women go and do. I had no core strength. I could barely raise my voice because my core was so weak those for a few days after. I was like, how do women get up and, like, do things?
Yeah,
it's not normal. It's not. There's a book called The First 40 Days, and it's like all about how sacred those first 40 days are, and you need to be nourishing your body and and not literally not worrying about anything else. That's a great book to read for women.
For sure.
Oh, I think one thing we just wanted to touch on too is preconception health. The man's health is super important too. That will affect the placenta and how the baby's growing and
your morning sickness.
And your morning sickness and, I mean, getting pregnant in general. So yeah, make sure your man's doing his part too, because it's that pressure too. It feels like you're doing all this work to get pregnant and they're not doing anything, but they should be doing a lot too.
For sure. I totally agree. And like, he should be detoxing himself before you guys. Like, Joey and I's plan is right now, Joey and I are actually detoxing, not like for preconception, but we are just doing detoxes right now. And then after we're done in May, like our goal is just to like nourish ourselves for as much as we can. And then maybe do like a small detox like 6 months before we want to get pregnant again, and then just nourish ourselves. So like your husband or your partner or whatever should be like actively putting in just as much work as you are as a mom, because it's not all on you.
Yeah. I think they say sperm health, it's like the health of your sperm is how healthy you were 3 months ago or something. It regenerates. So yeah, I mean, no cell phones in your pockets, boys. Yeah, just they also need to be working on their mental health. It's important. Takes two.
Amen. I agree.
All right. If we didn't answer some of your burning pregnancy questions, go ahead and slide in our DMs or look out for a question box too. We love talking about this stuff.
Yeah. See you guys next week.
Okay. Bye. That's it for today's episode of Moms Unbothered. If this conversation made you think differently, question the norm, or even just feel a little more empowered in your health journey, do us a favor. Share this with another mom who needs to hear it.
If you're loving the show, the best way to support us is by leaving a quick review, subscribing, and connecting with us on social media. It helps us reach more moms who are ready to take back control of what goes on, in, and around their families. We'll be back next week with another conversation, but until then, trust your instincts, question to everything, and stay unbothered. Bothered.